What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're talking about divorce and remarriage. Last time, we talked about adultery, and we found that adultery can be caused by getting remarried after divorce. So it's pretty clear that most people, if you do get divorced and remarried, you're pretty much in sin, you're committing adultery. But there are exceptions, and so today, we're going to talk about those exceptions. But first, I just want to go over briefly why God hates divorce, because it's best that we just avoid divorce altogether and just not even get into this place where we're asking whether or not we can get remarried. And then if we are remarried, okay, what do we do with that? So we want to avoid divorce altogether. So let's just talk about why God hates divorce. We read the book, we read Malachi 2:14 through 16, and then in the 16th verse it says, this is the New Living Translation. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. So God hates divorce because one of the reasons is it overwhelms the wife with cruelty. Back then, there was no government system or state plan or alimony or child support. So it would put the woman in a very, very bad position. She would either have to go back to her father's house, she would either become a prostitute or get remarried. But most guys didn't want to marry a woman that was divorced. Then it was just the pain of being tossed aside, which is, and this, of course, she has to fend for herself until she gets somebody else. So it's very cruel. And so today, now that we have laws where the woman can actually divorce a man, we see the same kind of cruelty being dished out on the men, where they're losing their children. The woman is turning the children against the father, and then the man is paying all his alimony and child support. And in some cases, if he can't, he ends up in jail for not being able to pay it. There's a warrant out for his arrest, and he ends up in prison or jail for not being able to pay his child support. So it's a lot going on with these marriages and divorce, and God hates it. Here's a few other reasons why God hates divorce. God is a God of unity. He himself is a triune God. He says he's one all through the scriptures, but you know that there's three people. There's the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. And they are one, as we see in 1 John 5:7. So he creates something called marriage, and he has a man and a woman come together and be unified, and through sexual intimacy. And that brings about unity amongst and a bond. And he doesn't want to see that torn apart, because that's his plan. That's what he created. That's what he set up. When you look at nature, everything is seen to be flowing together. It's an ecosystem, you know, and this is our God and how he created things. And he just hates when things are torn apart and ripped apart. So especially when marriage, which is as the scriptures say, a mystery, or not so much of a mystery now, is a reflection of Christ's love for the church. So we get to experience the love of Christ through our marriage. In other words, the man is like Christ and the woman is like the church. And there's a relationship between God and his people in marriage, you know, and when that's torn apart, it's a terrible thing. So God hates divorce because it makes marriage look like it doesn't work. A lot of people are growing up looking at marriages and saying, why get married? Why enter into the institute of marriage when this is what we're going to get? Divorce rates are so high, 50%. I could lose all my stuff, my children, my money. Why do that? We know that's the people. It's not the institution of marriage. So divorce, another reason why God hates divorce is that it brings people into depression and substance abuse. Some people end up drinking and smoking and abusing drugs because they've been torn apart. Okay. They enter into depression because they've been torn apart. Another reason why God hates divorce is the divorcee may be financially devastated due to government involvement. We talked about the men today. They go through that. Another reason why God hates divorce, the divorcer reveals a lack of godly character. Agape love is faithful. One of the attributes of love is faithfulness, loyalty. You know, staying loyal, staying faithful to the marriage. When you give up on it, you're saying, I don't have that much love. I don't have it. Another reason God hates divorce is that if children are involved, they are subjected to trauma from the split. We also talked about how the woman is no longer provided for. The woman is no longer has provision, emotional stability, or physical protection. Okay, today we have the police you can call. You have a house that you can be in with doors and locks. You have government assistance to help the woman financially. There's alimony, there's child support. There's these systems set up. But, you know, it still doesn't bring about that real security a man provides. And so she loses that. And then also emotional stability. In some cases, women can be very unstable when they don't have a husband. You know, they just left to their own thinking processes. They can be making decisions that are based out of emotion and not logic, and they end up making bad decisions. So they need a man. And unfortunately, when divorce happens, they are without a man, and so they are in a vulnerable position. And in some cases, like I mentioned before, women can sometimes end up in harlotry because that's the only way they can survive. Back then, that's what would happen. In some cases, a woman would end up selling her body for, you know, food and shelter and stuff like that. So this is not God's best. This is not God's will for anybody. And he doesn't want to see divorce happen. So we shouldn't be just quick to jump to divorce because of all the problems it causes. Okay. I don't care how much you hate the person. We got to think about how we can please God in all of this. Now, I'll be talking in depth about how and why people get divorced and how to prevent it, how to fix problems in marriages. And I'll be having all those discussions later on in this series. But I just want to talk about divorce and remarriage. And there's no exceptions here. It really are no exceptions. I'm going to bring up one, but I just want to talk about what the Bible says. It's very clear. This is what Jesus said about all of this. This is in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. It says, "And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her." Putting away, we know, is divorce, okay? Some people say it's two different things. No, it's not. It's the same thing, okay? Divorce and putting away are the same thing. Verse 12, it says, "And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." Okay, it's very clear right there, right? If you as a husband put away your wife or divorce your wife and get remarried, you are committing adultery. You ain't in right standing with God. You ain't sin for that. And we all know what happens to adulterers, all right? Same thing with a woman. If a woman put away her husband, divorce her husband, and get remarried, she's committing adultery. Why? Because God sees these people still connected to the other person. So you can't get remarried if you divorce. This is clear in scripture. I don't see why people are tripping, but I'm going to bring up the exceptions and talk about those next. But before I do that, here's another passage. And this is in Luke 16:18. It says, "Whosoever put away his wife and married another committeth adultery, and whosoever married her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." So now he's telling you what's going to happen to the person that gets divorced. So say, for instance, you didn't divorce anybody. Your husband divorced you. What the scriptures say here, you can't get remarried. If you do, it's considered adultery. So that's what happens, okay? Take out unfortunately. For the man, however, there is no exception. It doesn't say, well, if the man is divorced by his wife, he can't get remarried. It doesn't say that. So we say, based off of that, that the man can get remarried. If he is divorced by his wife, she walks away from him and leaves him, he can get remarried. However, if the woman is divorced by her husband or if she divorces her husband, either way, she cannot get remarried. All right? Okay, so that's the difference in this. And that's the first exception. So if you are a man and your wife divorces you, you can get remarried. Now, I want to be clear about this because a lot of guys, if they know the book, they can try to manipulate. They think they're tricking God or they're tricking everybody else when they force their wife to divorce them. I've seen guys push their wife away purposely so that she can file. You know, I've heard this from people. I also know men's hearts. If they know the scriptures and they want to be right with God, quote unquote, they could push their wife into divorcing them. Okay. And that means that I can get remarried. I'm all right in the sight of God. I can tell all my friends and family that my wife walked away from me when in reality it was me that didn't want to pursue this relationship anymore. And so I caused, like, God knows your heart. So if a man is doing this, he ain't right with God. So I don't care if the woman divorced him. It still ain't right. God knows his heart. Okay. This is only appropriate for a man who was trying to maintain his marriage, trying to salvage his marriage with his wife, and the wife walked away anyway. A lot of feminist women today are just giving up on their marriages and filing and just leaving. And know what? No matter what the man is doing to try to keep her and say, look, don't do this. We can work this out. You know, don't be this way. She walks away anyway. For that man, he can get remarried. Okay. God has a provision for him. Why? Because it's not good for man to be alone. The whole reason why the man has a wife is to help him build whatever he's building, whether for the Lord or not. He needs help. It's not good for man to be alone. So he created a helpmate. So if a man's wife walks away from him, he's able to get another wife. And it is not considered adultery because he didn't cut the marriage up. The wife did. And he should have another wife. Now, I can see it from the women's perspective. Well, why isn't it not allowed for a woman to get remarried if her husband divorces her? I can't tell you anything. It's sad. That's all I can tell you. I'm sure I'll probably have some reasoning for it. You know, God will give me the full understanding for that at some point, and I can share that. But all I see is what I see in scripture. Okay, so this is what the scriptures say. I can't say anything else about that, right? So people are always going to cite Matthew, the book of Matthew. And I'm going to get there in a minute here. They say, well, there is an exception. Jesus said you can divorce and remarry if the wife is committing fornication. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 through 32 says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. So he's saying here that there's an exception here. If the wife has practiced fornication, okay, he can divorce her and get remarried, and God is okay with him, right? Now, this is a funny thing when you read this passage. This is in the King James, by the way. It uses the word fornication. Why doesn't it say adultery? If the man's married to her and she does something, it says fornication. What is fornication? Well, we studied that in the past. We found out to be fornication is four different things. Fornication is premarital sex. The second thing it is bestiality. Is incest is the third thing. And fourth thing is homosexuality. So Jesus is saying, if your wife is found in any of these different things, you can divorce her. It doesn't mention adultery. So it's weird that it's being said this way. And the reason why, as we're going to find out later, is that this is, and also this, you see this exception clause? It's only in the book of Matthew. Luke and Mark is not mentioned. We just read those two passages before, earlier. It doesn't say except for fornication at all. All right? The reason why is, and I'm not going to get into it. I have all this written out for you in the sermon here, notes here, so you can go look at them yourself. The reason for this is simply this. In Hebrew or Israelite culture, when you got engaged with a woman, it was called betrothed or espoused. You were considered married to her. So Jesus was saying, if you find some uncleanliness in her, in other words, she found out she was fornicating, she was having sex with another man while y'all engaged to be married, you can divorce her. But after that, you can't divorce her. Okay, it's over with after that. So, and the reason why they had this phase, because they were getting the bride price together. The man was getting the bride price together for the wife. This is before the ceremony. They're preparing for the ceremony and of course, before the consummation. They didn't have sex before marriage back then either. So during the time of engagement, during the time of betrothal, when both of the man and the woman agreed that they're going to marry each other, before the ceremony, before the consummation, before the bride price is paid, if he finds that the woman was fornicating, he can divorce her. That's what Jesus is saying. So basically, before marriage, if you find something with the person you're engaged to, you can divorce them. That's all I'll be saying. And you can use the same thing for today. If you live in a culture where there's an engagement period, you find that the person that you're about to marry is doing something that they're being they're being filed, they're still having sex with their ex-boyfriend, divorce them. Or don't marry them. Simple as that. So they were considered married back then when it came to Israelite culture. So he's saying you can divorce her at that point or put her away. So that's the exception here. I hope that that makes sense to y'all. That's what's going on there. Okay, so a lot of people saying, yeah, you can divorce your wife if she was committing adultery against you. Because sexual immorality or fornication means that it's adultery. Like, it's not. It, there's a special word for a woman cheating on her husband or having sex with somebody else other than her husband. That's called adultery. It doesn't mention that. It doesn't use that term here. It uses fornication. So they're talking clearly about a time period before the actual marriage takes place. That's what's being said here. So that is the only, that's one of the exceptions people think. So we're back to square one. If you divorce somebody and remarry, you're committing adultery against them. Except when you're, when a man's wife divorces him, then he can get remarried. Other than that, there is no remarriage without adultery, and then you're in sin with God, right? So here's the other exception to the rule. Say, for instance, a man marries a woman who was previously married. Okay, the husband is still alive. She divorced him. Now she's with, she's marrying this other guy. Okay, he's walking around. He comes across these passages. He comes across this sermon. He realizes that he's married to a married woman. Even though the states said they're divorced and they're longer together, he's married to a woman that God considers married to the previous husband. Well, at that point, that man can divorce her. He should divorce her because he's committing adultery, as the scriptures just said here. He's committing adultery, and then he can get a new wife. He had to let that one go first, though. Now, there's a lot of people today who are married to divorced people. All right. And God is not, does not favor those marriages. And a lot of them will say, well, all I have to do is confess my adultery. God is fine with me. And then I can continue on in my second or third marriage or whatever. No, that's adultery. As long as you're with that person, it's adultery. You have to let go of that person. All right. So say, for instance, a man divorces his wife. Then he goes and gets another wife. He's committing adultery. That woman who marries him, the second wife who marries him, she needs to consider getting out of that marriage because that man is committing adultery, right? She may be a free woman and say, well, I haven't been married to anybody, but he is committing adultery by being with you. So as long as he's with you, he's committing adultery, even though you didn't have no previous husband. So you see how this is? This is what the scriptures teach, y'all. Let me read them again. Luke, whosoever put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. All right, that's Luke right there for you. Let's do Mark chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. It says, and he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Let me read Luke 16:18 again for you. Whosoever put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. All right, so we already explained Jesus' exception clause in Matthew. That's just for the engaged period, the engaged period. So that's out the door. Everybody knows that they can cut the marriage or not go through with the marriage if they find something wrong with the person before they go down the aisle and they say those vows and all that kind of stuff. So we're left with these two passages, you know, where if the man divorces his wife and gets remarried, he's committing adultery. And if the woman does it, she's committing adultery. And if the woman is, she didn't initiate the divorce, she just got divorced and she was thrown to the side by her husband. If anybody marries her, they're committing adultery and she's committing adultery. So she has to remain unmarried or be reconciled. And we'll talk about what Paul says all about that later because I'm getting ahead of myself. So there you have it. Okay. This is what the scriptures say. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. And I studied this deeply because I wanted to see if provision was made for people who, you know, who've been tossed to the side, who really didn't want to enter their marriage. And well, for the men, but not for the women. Now, let's talk about what Paul said about all of this. So let me just say this before I get into Paul. There is no reason for the divorce. God doesn't say, hey, you can get divorced for this reason or that reason. He doesn't say anything about that. He just said, y'all gonna stay together. And if you want to break up, that's fine. I don't like it. I hate divorce. But if you get remarried, you commit an adultery. That's what he's saying in scripture. All right. So Paul talks about this as well. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. It says, I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. So verse 10 is what I want to highlight. In verse 10 and 11, it says, let not the wife depart from her husband. In other words, divorce him or walk away from him. Don't do that. That's what he's saying. But if she departs, so say, for instance, you don't like your husband no more, you can leave him. But if she's apart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. So you can be unmarried, say, I'm just be a single for the rest of my life, or I'm going to reconcile with this guy I left. Why? Because of what Jesus said. If you get remarried, it's adultery. So you see, Paul is just, he didn't go over what Jesus said. He didn't overwrite what Jesus said. He's supporting what Jesus said. Okay. And he's saying, this ain't me saying, it's the Lord saying this. So he ain't doing nothing but repeating what Jesus said. And it goes on to say, the husband should not put away his wife. Don't put away your wife. Okay. So there you have it right there. He's saying, if a woman leaves her husband, she need to remain unmarried. Okay. She need to remain unmarried or be reconciled. Now, he also talks about unbelieving spouses. So if you are a born again child of God and your spouse is not saved, what do you do about them? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 15. It says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, or unbeliever, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So if you got a wife who's pleased to live with you, don't put her away. Because she's not saved, you know, she's not always the best wife. Bottom line, if she's pleased to dwell with the man, don't put her away. Don't divorce her. He goes on 13 saying, and the woman which have a husband that be believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So if you're married to a man that's not born again and he's pleased to live with you, stay with him. Don't leave him. Okay, and the reason for this is in verse 14. It says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Right? So that's the reason for that. If you stay with them and they're okay and they're peacefully and they want to live with you, they're fine. Verse 15, it says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. So woman, you're married to an unbeliever, and it's not peaceful, and he doesn't, let him go. All right. And it says, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So if you got an unbelieving spouse, they want to stay with you, let them stay with you. If they don't want to stay with you, let them go. Now, people say, well, you can get remarried now. That ain't what the passage say. Because earlier it said, if the wife leaves the husband, she must remain unmarried or reconcile the husband. So it's clear here that this is what's being said here. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So we see here, this is about, you're bound into as long as you live. Okay. So this whole thing, I'm gonna get remarried, blah, blah, blah. No, you can't. All right. If once the man dies, the woman can get remarried. All right. Paul repeats the same thing in Romans chapter 7, verses 2 through 3. He says, for the woman which have an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So this thing is for life. For women, it's for life. For men, it's a little bit more room, simply because, you know, women were created for men. So a man, potentially, because his wife left him, he can go get another one. Same thing with an unbelieving wife. If the unbelieving wife goes away or whatever, he can get another one. So it's a little bit more room for the man. But why? Because women were created for men. We need to start understanding this. And also, men can get more wives. So say, for instance, if the wife does not act right, he can get another wife that does act right and help him. You know, it's up to him what he wants to do. But it says here clearly in scripture that if he divorces his wife, he cannot get another one. All right. Once again, here's a few allowances for remarriage. Number one, when the spouse dies. All right. Number two, when a husband is divorced by his wife. Number three, if a man's wife was previously married. So if a man, you was ignorant, you didn't know no better, you went out, you found a wife. And in some cases, I've heard men tell me that the woman lied to them or told them right before he was going to get married to her that, oh, I was married to somebody else. You know, stuff like that. If you marry a woman that's been previously married and her husband is still alive, you should divorce her because you're committing adultery. That's another man's wife. So these are the rules here, y'all. These are the rules. I don't see any room. I'm trying to go back here. This is no room for women who get divorced. This is no room. I just, you know, you by yourself at that point. You either going to reconcile. So, and this is my thing about women. You know, y'all got to really, really, as a woman of God, if you're single and you're hearing this, you got to be, first of all, prepare yourself to be a wife. Understand what you're here for and what you're created for. Second thing is, understand what a godly man really looks like. Okay. We're going to go over some attributes and stuff like that. But I want you to be clear about it. You don't want to be married to no knucklehead. Okay. Well, I thought he was saved. And then you be emailing me about the troubles that you have in your marriage. Now, there are ladies who email me often about their husbands, and their husbands are not saved. And they complaining about, you know, this guy's behavior and all this kind of stuff. And in some cases, she got saved after she got married. So it wasn't like she tried to be in something like this. She so happened, got born again while after she got married. But I'm talking to ladies who are single right now, who are in Christ, who've been born again. Take your time. Okay. Let God send you a man of God, you know, be open to what God is, you know, going to send you, because you don't want to be with somebody that doesn't love the Lord and he's your head, because you're going to have to submit to him. And if you do leave him, you got to be by yourself or reconcile with him or wait till he dies to get somebody else, which is a very sad situation. But if you're in Christ, ladies, stay in Christ. Just stay in Christ when it comes to this area of your life. He'll get you a good man. Okay. He'll get you a good man that'll take care of you and love you. But I can hear a lot of women talking about, oh, you know, like I said, you know, there's these bad guys out here. There's a lot of bad women out here too. And so I say to the men as well, men, stay with the Lord when it comes to your wife. You take your time. And also understand that there are more women than there are men. So don't never have a scarcity mindset when it comes to women. If you come across a woman that's not acting right, you were considering marrying her, but she's just not acting right, go ahead and let her go and find somebody else. You need a woman that's going to help you do the things that God has for you to do in this world. Okay. And you can't have some hangups where the woman is just not helpful to you. Okay. So it's better for you to be single and long for a woman than to have a woman that's not helpful and you be longing for another woman, you know. And fortunately for you, you can get another wife, because the Lord supports polygyny in the Bible. He has no rule that says a man must be monogamous. However, you're going to still have that one wife that's not acting right. And then you got a new wife on top of that. And, you know, it's not a good thing to just try to, you know, fix your marriage by adding another woman in there. You know, you can do it, but it's better just to, before you get married, find a good one, you know, and then build from that, you know. But so with all that being said, people got all these kind of different backlash about this. So they find out that they're in adultery. Okay. I'm committing adultery because I'm married to somebody who was previously married, or this is my second marriage and I divorced my wife, so therefore I'm in sin. Yeah. You're in sin. Okay. So what are you going to do about that? Well, you can divorce the person and remain single, or, you know, reconcile with the first marriage that you had or whatever. And a lot of people got all these different backlash. They say, well, Neil, you know, I wasn't saved back then. You see, Neil, I had a few marriages back before I became to Christ. So, well, let's look at it like this. Okay. If you got a credit card debt before you got saved and then you got born again, does it mean the credit card debt goes away? No, it's still there. What you did in your past still affects your future, even if you're in Christ Jesus. God does not annul marriage because you got born again. You know, people are running around talking about, I'm a new creature. Oh, so your old marriage is that you were a part of no longer exists now? You know, marriage is his institution, whether you are a child of God or not, okay? You know, so these are the people, these with their ways of trying to get around it. But like, no, that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. Another thing people will say, God hates divorce. So now I already divorced my first wife. Now I got to divorce my second wife. And because she's unlawful and she was married to somebody else, like, man, I can't keep doing that. Come on, man. I can't do that. Well, it's better to be right with God than to continue in adultery, because that's what it is. You know, so the marriage that you're in for the second time, that's adultery. That's not marriage. God is looking like, man, I don't like that union. You're supposed to be married to so-and-so, and you're supposed to be with them and you're with somebody else. I don't like that. Before I get into God actually divorcing people and you know, tearing up families, some people say, well, Jesus, you know, said don't break up what God put together. And so if God didn't call you and somebody else to come together and be married, then that's not a real marriage. And so y'all can break up and get somebody else. That's not how marriage works. You know, God doesn't tell anybody to marry anybody unless you're a child of God and you're actually listening to him. He don't do that. It's who you choose to marry. It's who you choose to enter into the institution of marriage. Once you enter into his institution, you're in it for life. Those are the rules. God doesn't say, okay, you have to hear from me in order to get married. No, whoever you hook up with and marry, that is God saying, okay, now you in my marriage institution. I don't care if you was immature when you made the decision to marry somebody. I don't care. That's what a lot of people say. I was young, you know. No, you made some mistakes and you need to own up to them and remain faithful to your wife. You don't just drop her and get another one and drop her and get another one and drop her and get another one. Because you're making mistakes and this, that, and the other. No, you stay with the one you got. God said clearly, if a man divorces his wife and get another wife, he's committing adultery. He was not faithful to the marriage. All right. So let me bring up a scripture here where God actually supports divorce. All right. He had whole families divorce. This is what Israel had married people they weren't supposed to marry and then had children by them. This is Ezra chapter 10, verses 2 through 3. It says, and Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. All right. And that's what they did. All right. God supported this. Y'all ain't supposed to be married to them women, and them babies you need to send them back to. Okay. So God is more concerned with you obeying him and then fixing what you did. If he's saying that if you're in another marriage, that's not sanctioned by God. It's an illegal marriage. You're committing adultery. Break that up. Stop what you're doing. Let that person go. Tell them, look, I'm trying to follow God. I don't want to go to hell. You know, I don't want to be displeasing to the Lord. I want to honor him. That's what you do. Okay. And this is very, very hard, but I've seen testimonies of people doing it where they seen the scripture. They said, okay, I got to do this. Women have done it. They were previously married. They got married to another man. She started reading the scriptures. She realized, you know what? I'm in sin. She told her husband. The husband said, okay, fine. So now they live in separate. You know, and I've heard, you know, people email me, you know, constantly about this topic.
you know, they may send support to each other and stuff like that. And it's, this is the hardest thing I've seen in scripture, that you're committing adultery if you are remarried to somebody after a divorce and the person's still alive. And there's no fixing by just praying and saying, Lord, forgive me for my adultery. Adultery is is continuing while you're with that person. Adultery is the act of having sex with somebody else's wife and the wife having sex with somebody else other than her husband. So long as they're doing that, they're committing adultery. As long as they're unifying themselves through other means as well. You know, it can be said, well, we're not going to have sex for the rest of our life. That's not going to happen, first of all. Second, if you attempt to do that, you still have some level of unity between each other, where you're bonding, you know, with somebody that's not your spouse. I'm sorry. This is like the worst thing ever in the Bible for me that I've read and I've studied. And I can't see any provision for people getting remarried other than the exceptions I just gave. So, you know, one of the things that people say God hates divorce. Well, no, he don't. Here's one of the things that he had the people in Israel do when they married somebody they weren't supposed to. So I would say that God supports your divorce if you're already married to somebody who he considers an illegal marriage. All right. Some will say, but it's not good for man to be alone. So a man divorces his wife, and the scriptures are clear that if you do that, you cannot get remarried because it's considered adultery. Well, a guy will say, well, no, I need to get another woman. Well, you should have dumped the one you had. Well, she was not good to me. She wasn't good to me. So, you know, I really need somebody else. Well, look, man, you should have stuck with the woman that you had instead of now you're lonely because you gave up your wife. God would rather you just stick with the woman you have, you know. All right. Now, somebody also said to me in an email long ago, they got upset because I told them that you would have to return either to your former husband or remain unmarried. And they brought up this scripture where it talks about the woman being defiled if she's divorced and then gets remarried and gets remarried and then tries to go back to the first husband. And that's found in Deuteronomy 24:1-4. I'm going to just read the fourth passage because, you know, it takes too long to read this. You know, it says her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. So people bring this up and say, you can't go back to your husband that you left, you know, because I was with some other guys, this, that, and the other. And so I'm foul, or they say he's foul because he was with other women or whatever. Okay, this is Old Testament. All right. Paul obviously went against this. He said, be reconciled and stuff like that. Now, I know he didn't mention whether or not that woman got remarried a couple times and all that kind of stuff. But I see another principle in scripture here where God the Father took back Israel after Israel being a whore, after Israel was with different gods. And he said, you played the harlot, but come back to me anyway. He said, you defiled, just like a man wouldn't take you back, I'll still take you back. So we are like Christ today, okay? God is more about reconciliation now in the New Testament rather than this just cutting people off and that's it, all right? So that's the way you got to look at it today. God, what do you care for? He wants y'all to be separate or he wants the reconciliation? What would he rather see? Two people who are apart come back together or they just stay apart? You see, we got to consider the whole counsel of God. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1, that's where it says where God took Israel back after her adultery. So we have to understand, like, we're called to a higher standard now that we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have God in us now. And so, saints, if God forbid this would happen in our marriage where one or the other would left us and got remarried, or they went out and they practiced adultery and had fornicate sex and all this kind of stuff with other people and then came back, if the Lord was saying take them back, take them back. And that defilement in the soul, the Holy Spirit can wash that away, especially if the person is born again and they fell off. God forbid they would do that. But if they did, he can wash away that, just like he washes away soul ties. Somebody was fornicating out in the world and they want to get married, and God can clean all that up. OK, the blood of Jesus is able to wash away a lot of stuff. So let's be about reconciliation. If the husband who put away his wife wants to reconcile, or if the wife who walked away from her husband wants to reconcile, they should be able to. Let's not bring up scriptures like, oh, that he or she is defiled and all that kind of stuff. Okay? Let's not do that. I've seen stories in the past where a man, he stayed single, even though he probably could have got another wife. His wife left him for another man. She got remarried. He stayed single. He kept praying for it. Eventually, she came back. God restored the marriage. So if you are faithful enough to stay in prayer, that could happen for you. Unfortunately, we live in a sinful world, and this is the way it is. And we end up with breakups and all this kind of stuff. But I believe that this is less prevalent amongst the saints of God. You know, this is more so in the world, of course. But when you got brothers and sisters in Christ, this is something that's not going to be happening. Okay. So ultimately, at the end of the day, repentance is better than rebellion. Okay. If you want to be continuing to live in an adulterous relationship, you're going to end up in hell. The Bible says clearly, adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. So we got to be clear about this. This is what the Bible says. All right. And this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and such were some of you. In other words, some of y'all was adulterers. In other words, some of y'all was married to people y'all shouldn't have been married to. And then, you know, y'all broke it up. I want to show you what Jesus said about that, too. He says in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, he says, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. It just says that some were leaving their wives. Why? Perhaps they found that wife was already married to another man. And so they left to please God. So they wouldn't be an adulterer. All right. Another passage here in Matthew 7:13-14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So it says here that it's going to be difficult and to get into the road of life. So one of those difficulties is being in a marriage with somebody you love, a second marriage, but it's illegal. You're committing adultery. The difficult thing is to give that person up. Are you willing to do that? Or are you willing to stay in that marriage and go to hell and go down the broad road of destruction? It's up to you. But I believe what God is doing now is setting the record straight about divorce and remarriage and what it really is, adultery, and getting the record straight, because the church has not preached on this. They've always just catered to what people wanted to hear. Because church became a commercial thing. So they didn't want to displease people in the church. They didn't want to tell them, hey, you know what? Y'all committing adultery. So they just told people, you're fine. You know, you married to somebody else, even though your other spouse is still alive. It's okay. God is fine with that. You know, they're lying to people, you know, because they want to keep the tithes coming in. They want to keep the church lights on. They want to keep the people happy. But the true prophets and teachers of God tell the people the truth, because we care for their souls. And this is what the Bible says. Okay, so you got to either go and obey the word of God, or you're going to continue in adultery and end up in hell. So that's all I got for you today. This is what I see in scripture. So until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.